Exodus chapter 3. We read from a moment ago, God's call to Moses. Last Sunday night, if you were here, I also spoke about Moses' call. I said that God has a plan for each of our lives and that he prepares us, he gets our attention, he calls us, and then he simply asks us to use what's in our hand. And my sermon last Sunday night, what's in thy hand? Moses said a rod, and God said, I want you to use it. I want you to go to Egypt, and I'll work through that rod, and we'll deliver my people from Pharaoh. Now, so I want to back up in the story this morning. I want to look at how God got Moses' attention. He was keeping Jethro, his father-in-law's sheep, out in the desert. Saw a bush that was on fire. Not unusual for lightning to hit bushes and to catch on fire in the desert and in the wilderness. But this was very unusual because Moses kept looking at it and it burned and burned and burned. But the Bible says it was not consumed. Now, if you know anything about fire, that's unusual. Usually when a fire burns, it consumes things. Those of us that have had a house fire can speak from personal experience that when fire burns, it consumes what it burns. But in this case, it didn't consume the bush. It just kept burning. And so Moses stepped aside to see what was going on. And God said, Moses, you're coming into my presence. You're coming on holy ground. Take your shoes off. And God revealed to Moses what he was about to do. And God called Moses to go to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, this morning, I want to look at some things that go through the fire, that may be in the fire, but they are not consumed. And again, I hope this message will be an encouragement to all of us. Because as Angie sang a moment ago, and you mentioned the word furnace in the song that you sang, sometimes God puts us into the fire. Sometimes he lets us go into where it's burning. But I have hope for you this morning, a message of hope. We are not consumed. Just like that bush was not consumed, we are not consumed. So let me mention, I think I have six things this morning, so I need to be quick. I can only spend about 2 minutes per point. So you got to listen quick, and I'll preach quick. Number one, the first thing that's gone through the fire that has not been consumed is the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is still God's chosen people. I know they had a plan early on to bring the Messiah into the world. They have a plan as the world ends. They're still God's chosen people. They've gone through the fire. There have been instance after instance where somebody has tried to destroy them. All those vites that we read about in that verse, the Hittites and the Jebusites and all those other ites that we read about, at one time or another tried to destroy Israel. They raised up armies. They marched against them. They went into war. They wanted to destroy God's people. And at different times, they were in the fire of war, but they were not consumed. The Palestinians today... Well, let me back up. The Crusaders, the Muslims, waged war at one time against Israel, tried to destroy it. Hitler tried to destroy the Jews, put them in concentration camps, killed millions of them. They went through the fire, but they were not consumed. Today, there are nations that surround Israel that want to destroy them. The Palestinians and Iran and Iraq and Syria and Libya and Jordan. And one day they'll be involved in a war against Israel. But they want to destroy God's people. God's people will not be destroyed. They will go into the fire, but because they're God's people, they will not be consumed. The nation of Israel has gone through the fire. Number two, the Word of God, the Bible, has gone through the fire, and it's not been consumed. The Bible has always existed and will always exist. People down through the ages have tried to destroy it. They've thrown it in the fire. They said, if we can burn the Bible, we will destroy the Word of God. There was a king, King Jehoiakim. He didn't like something that one of the prophets wrote, and I think it was in Isaiah. And he, one of his servants began to read what the prophet wrote. And the king got so mad that he cut it with his knife and threw it in the fire. And it burned. Well, God just came back to that prophet and said, hey, we're not only going to rewrite what we wrote before, we're going to add something to it. And that's what God did. He inspired that prophet again. The prophet wrote that book again. We have it in our Bible today. People have tried to throw the Word of God into the fire and to destroy it. And it, at times it has burned, but it has never been destroyed, nor will it ever be destroyed. There was a man named Voltaire. He says, I'm going to destroy the Bible in my lifetime. And he set out worldwide to destroy the Bible. You know what they're printing in the house that he lives in now? Bibles. Amen. Bibles. The Word of God cannot be destroyed. Satan tried to do it early on in the Garden of Eden. He tried to say, oh, well, God didn't really say that. God didn't really mean that. And people today, we got all these different versions of the Bible, and what they're trying to do, go back to the Garden of Eden, where Satan changed the Word of God. The Bible doesn't need to be changed. It was written and preserved by God. I've got it in my King James Bible. I don't need any other versions. I don't need the ASV, the UVR, I don't need the Reader's Digest Bible. I got a Bible that one day will exist in heaven. The Word of God has gone through the fire and has not been consumed. Number three, they put Jesus through the fire. They put Jesus through the fire. The Bible says he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He went into the fire but was not consumed. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. He went into the fire but was not consumed. The Bible says with his stripes we are healed. He went into the fire but was not consumed. He was betrayed by one disciple. The other 11 forsook him. He went into the fire but was not consumed. They falsely accused him. They unjustly tried him. The trial that the Jewish leaders put him through broke every one of their laws. They had to do it over when morning came. He went into the fire but was not consumed. He was beaten with that cat of nine tails. He was slapped and punched and spit upon. They beat him with rods. They pulled out his beard. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They nailed him to a cross. They laid him in the tomb, and for 3 days and three nights he lay in that tomb, and Satan said, we got him, we got him, we finally got him, we've won. He went into the fire, but he was not consumed. We celebrated Easter here Wednesday night. We sang the song, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. We sang, he lives. I serve a risen Savior. Jesus Christ went through the fire. He went through the fire for you and I, but he was not consumed. Number four, the plan of salvation has gone through the fire. The gospel has gone through the fire, but has not been consumed. The gospel, Paul defines it for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says what we need to do to the gospel of Jesus Christ is to believe it and receive it. Just with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God says, hey, that's it. Nothing needs to be added to it. And yet people put the gospel in the fire when they try to add what God has said about salvation in his book. Again, it goes back to the book of Genesis. God taught Adam and Eve. He taught Cain and Abel, you bring a blood sacrifice. It's the blood that's important. The Bible says without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Look, we got people today trying to take blood out of their songbooks. We got people today trying to take blood out of the Bible. You cannot take blood out of the Bible. You cannot take blood out of the plan of salvation. The blood is what paid for our sins. We got to have the blood. And Cain said, well, I can do better than that. He brought some of his harvest. He was a farmer, a tiller of the ground. I'll bring something that I had a part in. Our salvation doesn't need anything on our behalf. It doesn't need anything that we work on. Our salvation is a gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no work that you and I need to add to our salvation. When Jesus on the cross cried out, "It is finished," what he was saying is, you don't need to add anything to what I've done. Everything is complete. You just got to believe it and receive it. And yet today, people are still putting the gospel in the fire. They think they can change it. You see, they don't want it to be so easy. They want to say, there must be something that I have to do. I must have to live a good life. I must have to get baptized, or I must have to take communion, or I must have to join the church. I must have to do something. It just doesn't seem right that I don't have to do anything. Look, we're all sinners. There's nothing we can do to add to the grace of God. We just need, by faith, and by the way, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Every single person gets a measure of faith. You say, preacher, what's a measure? Enough for you to get saved. Enough for you to get saved. God has given you enough faith to get saved. And we just need to exercise that faith to come and believe that we're a sinner. And there's a penalty for that sin, death, separation from God. And on the cross, Jesus paid our penalty. And if we believe that and receive it for ourselves, there's nothing else we need to add to it. It's done. It's a completed work. God's just waiting for us to take it. So don't try to add anything to God's salvation. It's gone through the fire, but it has not been consumed. Number five, the church has gone through the fire, but not been consumed. They tried to destroy the New Testament church. The Romans tried to destroy it. The Jews tried to destroy it. Saul, who became Paul, spent his life. He said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I mean, he believed in keeping the law in order to get right with God. And when these heretics arose and began to preach that it wasn't keeping the law, but it was by believing in Jesus Christ that you got right with God, Paul set out to destroy Christians. He set out to destroy the church. And down through the years, the church has gone through the fire. There have been different kings and different rulers and different organizations that said, we're going to wipe out the church. We're going to destroy the church. But listen, I want to tell you something this morning. This church and every New Testament church is the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be destroyed. It may get hot at times. It may go into the fire at times, but it will not be consumed. And then finally, number six, God's people have gone into the fire. Now, the greatest example I can give you is one told in the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew boys who King Nebuchadnezzar ordered to bow down to a statue of gold that he had built when they heard the music play. And these three boys told the king, "No way, Jose. Not going to do it. You can play the music." And the king said, "Look, if you don't bow down, I'm throwing you into the furnace." Had a big furnace. So I'm going to heat that thing up, and anybody that doesn't obey my command and bow down and worship the idol that I built is going to go into the furnace. And these Hebrew boys said, "Look, if our God wants to protect us in the furnace, that's okay. If he doesn't want to protect us in the furnace, that's okay. You just need to know, O king, we're not going to bow down and worship your idol." The music began to play. I can picture it in my mind. Everybody else in that courtyard fell on their knees, bowing down to that idol. And over here stood these three young Hebrew boys. "We're not bowing." King got mad, rounded them up, tied them up, threw them in the furnace. said, heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than we normally have it. The soldiers that throw them in the furnace were burned up just when they got close enough to throw those boys in. Those boys got thrown in the furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar was looking in there. He said, just a minute. Called the servants. He said, hey, didn't we only throw three guys in that furnace? And didn't we have them tied up? I see four walking around in there. They're untied. And the fourth looks like the Son of God.
Amen.
Hey, don't you tell me that when the Bible says that one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess, that don't you tell me that's not going to happen. Because if an old, wicked Babylonian king named Nebuchadnezzar, who had nothing to do with God, could look into a fiery furnace and say, hey, we only threw three guys into the furnace, but there's a fourth one in there, and he looks like the Son of God. One of these days, the world is going to see the Son of God. They're going to know the Son of God, and they're going to bow to the Son of God, and they're going to confess the Son of God. That's going to happen. God's people may get thrown into the fire. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. There's stories of martyrs. Most of the disciples were martyred. And people today are being persecuted for standing for Christ. The world over, they're being killed. Their possessions are being taken. Their homes are being destroyed. Their families are being ripped apart from them. They are in the fire. But I want to tell you something. They are not consumed. Because one of these days, we're going to come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to walk into that place called heaven. We're going to sing like Brother Wendell sang a moment ago, I am so blessed because I'm in the presence. I am in the presence of my Savior and my God. Sometimes, as Angie sang a moment ago, God sends his blessings in the rainstorms and in the valleys and in the hardships of life. He'll put us in the fire, but we will not be consumed. If you're a Christian here this morning, you rejoice that we have that kind of God. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ, then you come to him this morning. The gospel is still true. The gospel still works. You come to Jesus, he'll save you. He'll save you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being the kind of God that you are. Thank you for sending your son to die on Calvary to pay the debt that we owe. Thank you for offering to every single person the gift of eternal life. And I pray for those that are here this morning that have never received that gift. They've never received Christ. Father, impress upon their hearts and their minds this morning their sin. Impress upon them the penalty of that sin. And Father, help them to see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary for them. Help them to believe it. Help them to come and receive it. Just bless this invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.